10 seconds, take the monitoring off, otherwise we get this wonderful feedback when we open the microphones up. 5 seconds. Good evening, one and all. I know, here we go, halfway through November, nearly Christmas. I've already sort of, I haven't quite got the first Christmas card through, but I'm sure it's not going to be far off. I did get cards, I did get stamps, I am sort of ready. Of course, we've got Thanksgiving next week as well. Well, in America we have, and no, I don't know if they had in Canada. I doubt if they had in Canada. It's just America. Let's face it. They're the only ones who had the turkeys, so it must be only in America. But we're getting there, and we are getting towards the end of another year. And what a year, eh? But we got through it. That's the thing that counts. Anyway, I am here, and so is my guest. Now, what can I tell you about my guest? Because, well, I'll tell you a bit first, because I've got a bit of an intro for this. I've been working on this for the last 10 minutes or so. My guest doesn't know this, but this is what I do. Well, I sort of try and think how it's going to go. She is a president and chief dreamer, which I think that's great. What a position of GEMC squared and ERVP and Airbone Internet. Arbonne. Thank you. She's telling me Arbonne. In the background. Arbonne International. She is an inventor, an entrepreneur, a woman of profound faith, and a mother of four awesome children. Now, we've had in the show quite a few people who have been told, received a message from whatever, from past loves, from beyond, something like that, saying, you need to write a book. You need to share your experiences with people. You need to get on with this when they haven't done it. And people say, oh, it doesn't happen. It does happen, whether it's the characters, whether it's from another realm or another being or from above. It doesn't matter. It's something that comes to somebody and they are told they need to basically get off their backside and do something about it. Well, my guest, she had that sort of experience, but we'll find out more when I introduce her, because on the show today, I have the one and only Angie Seller. Hi, Angie. How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Barry. That was literally the best intro.
Okay. I'll sell it to you for $5.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you 10.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, I'll put a full stop at the end for that. Well, Angie.
And I've got to tell you something. Yeah? Hold on, Bear. I got to tell you something. Did you know I just learned this last night, so it's really funny. They celebrate Thanksgiving in Japan.
Wow. And they imported turkeys into Japan.
I guess. Yeah,
it must have been. Celebrate. No, I reckon. Do you reckon that's from the war? Do you reckon that's from there?
Actually. Yeah. I never thought of, well, I just learned about it.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah. Halloween and stuff like that's around the world, you know, and everything. I mean,
yeah.
Look at St. Patrick's Day. I mean, you know, that's everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere where people want an excuse to drink, that is. I mean, it's how it is. But as I said, during that terribly expensive intro,
yeah.
you received mm-hmm. a message saying you had an idea for something, and somebody said you got this thing. Hey, go for it. Do something about it. Don't just sit there. This is something to do. So tell us how this happened.
Get off your backside, like you said. Yeah. That's so funny. So, okay, well, so I had a dream and I literally while I was sleeping, that kind of dream.
Yep.
And about a product. And I woke up the next morning and I remembered it, and you know, that doesn't always happen, so I'm so thankful I did remember it. And the product is Blinger, which is also the name of my book. And so like bling, you know.
Right.
Blinger. And it puts crystals in your hair, and in my dream I was using this flat iron, and every time I squeezed it together it put a couple crystals in my hair.
And then
about 6 weeks after that, the first dream was kind of spiritual to me because of a book I'd read years ago, And because of a specific prayer I had been doing, right. I had been doing for about a month. And then about 6 weeks after that, just to make sure I didn't miss it, I had a dream with God.
Uh-huh.
I've never dreamt about God before, right. So I don't sound like a Christian weirdo or something.
Right.
And he said, I want you to make this product. And that dream, I also remembered, obviously, but it came to, like, the first one I remembered right when I woke up, and the other one I remembered in the middle of the day. It just kind of blindsided me.
Right.
And that was the beginning of everything, but I don't want to keep talking because
I'll interrupt. No, I won't. I'll wait for you to finish. No, but I mean, it's the fact that you could remember in the morning is one thing. The fact that you remember the next one during the day is even more, you know, different to what most think. I mean, we have a lot of authors who keep a pencil and paper on the side of their bed, and, you know, an idea comes to them in the middle of the night and they have to get up and write, you know, write it down or write notes down about it. But for anybody, anybody who's, you know, people dream, dreams disappear with the morning light, as they say. You know, it's to the fact, and especially to come back to you in the day, it obviously something being, you know, something was trying to tell you or make sure you did it. And it for you to sort of come from, I mean, and you had no experience or anything like this. And it's just this idea, this divine inspired idea.
Well, and it's funny that you're saying that, because I make a joke that God will use the least of us, and that's how you'll know he was involved.
Yes, yes, no, that's true.
You know, and I think for me, you know, he was having that second dream with him, because in that dream he said, I don't know if I said this, he said, I want you to make this product.
Uh-huh.
Which to me, actually, when I remembered that dream, the first thing I remembered was that I was like, oh my gosh, I had a dream about God last night. That's so weird. And I remembered it in the middle of the day. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was driving. And my kids, I'm a single mom. I have four kids, four awesome kids, as you said. And they are. But they, and then I said, oh, and he wants me to make this product. And I just thought it was, I didn't see it as profound so much as I just thought it was weird. Mm. Like, why does he want me? What's so special about this product? You know, what's the big deal about this product? And what, you know, why me or whatever? And,
well, it's like a lot of people say, why me, don't they? I mean, the, you know, people who are chosen can't understand it. But, you know, in his wisdom, you know, he knows what he's doing.
I know, right? It's weird because I do feel that way now, but at the time, I did feel special. I did feel like I had been selected. Mm. And so from that point forward, and then this is, you know, if when I shared the whole story, hopefully we can share it all somehow on this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we can. But when I got to the point where then I was going to write the book, and I started writing the book, and I was reliving all the obstacles, because it was a lot of failure.
Right.
A lot of years worth of failure before I even got to a working prototype of the device, and all my savings and all this stuff. When I was writing the book, I at the time that it was happening, it was like, this is what I'm doing and it has to get done. I was compelled. Mm-hmm. I was I've been told to do this and I'm going to do this. Nothing could stop me, literally. I don't think anything would have stopped me. But then when I was writing the book, I was like, oh my gosh, how could I have kept going? I don't even know now.
Well, you were driven. So let's face it. Were driven. You were driven by a divine.
Yeah.
A divine right and presence that you needed to do it, the divine inspiration. Yeah. And because of that, you didn't see what a lot of people would have balked at and what would have stopped a lot of people, not until you came to write Blinger.
Yeah, and then I saw it. I was like, oh, it was crazy. I mean, it literally felt like I was really confused, because I know, obviously, it was me that did these things.
Yeah.
I mean, because at one point, after we had the working prototype, I was maxed out in debt. I had been through five different engineering firms, and they're all $10,000 to $20,000.
Wow.
And so I'd taken out all these loans, so I couldn't get any more loans. I tried to get investors. I had already used all my savings. That was like from 1.5, all my savings was gone. And so I ended up getting my kids together after I got the working prototype, and because I had equity in my house, and I thought, well, I can use that money to build the tool in China, because no one wanted to invest, like I said. So I got all my kids together, and I said, you know, hey, what if we sell the house? We'll just rent an apartment for a year or two. And my oldest said, you got to do it, Mom. And that was all I needed, and I was excited. Like, that's so weird to me that I was excited to sell my house.
I was going to ask about that.
I was excited about that.
I was going to ask about that, about the children, because, I mean, for them to see their mother and what everything, you know, what this meant to you and that, it was good that they realized.
Yeah, I know, right? I think it was so, like, usually when I share that part, I think, because I've kind of shared it a little quickly here, I cry, because it was so observant of her, and they saw all those years of me, you know, struggling with it. And I think she just, maybe she just knew I had to do it.
She had faith in you. Which is a big thing. She knew your faith. She knew the where it came from, and they had faith in you. But it, as you said, it wasn't easy. I mean, in your book, Blinger, an Entrepreneur's Faith-Based Journey, it tells everybody about the twists and the turns and everything that you had to go through. And like you said, it's funny. Like you said about you don't notice it at the time. And I've had this with other authors, and I know with myself especially. I was sort of about 4 or 5 years ago, I was going home back to England, and I was there was a delay in the flight, and the only book I had were a couple of my books that I was taking for my family. And I started reading my book, and I'm reading my book, and I'm thinking, where did those words come from? I wouldn't say words like that. I don't remember writing that sort of that stuff, because you don't. You get in an automated thing, if you like, and it's same with you with your process. You didn't notice perhaps so many of the pitfalls of what you actually battled through until you look back on it.
Yeah, yeah, it was very interesting. In fact, this was an astounding thing that I discovered in writing the book. The fifth engineering firm that I had the dream in November 2nd, 2014. Mm-hmm. And I only know that because I took a picture of my oldest daughter after I put some rhinestones. I stuck some rhinestones in her hair. I took a picture of her, and I found it like a year later. So I knew the date of my dream. And then so fast forward 4 years later, I'm hiring my fifth engineering firm and feeling like, and he's like, it'll take 6 to 8 months, which they all say. And when I wrote the book, I literally did not realize this at the time. He had developed the working prototype within 30 days.
Wow.
And I had it in my hands 12 days later, in fact, he developed two designs so that I could pick which one I wanted.
Oh, unbelievable.
It took 6 to 8 months, and it took 4 years to get it done in 30 days. And at the time, I think it was just exciting, of course, but it didn't track that what had just happened, because it just been so much failure, I think, that I really wasn't expecting much.
Well, interestingly, it must have been that they had a belief and a faith in it as well to put that amount of effort into it.
Yeah, or good timing. You never know, right?
So. Interestingly enough, when I was, you know, sort of reading about the book and flicking through it, etc., and that, the first thing that came to my mind was the Georgian type period before sort of Victorian times and stuff like that, where the women had those their hair piled up about 3 foot high. The story is about rats lived in them and stuff like that. But they did have jewels in their hair. They did have them interwoven in their hair. And I thought, hang on, this is something that can, you don't have to wave them in and out. And if this is something that can do it for somebody, and, you know, I won't just say women are with their hair, but that's just me being jealous. some men are as well. You know, it's something that people you know, look, it's like glitter on the face and stuff like that. Yeah, especially anything that will catch the light at a, you know, at a party or something like that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and just it's yesterday I was at a book signing in Oklahoma, which is where I'm originally from, and I flew back today, but my stepmom went with me to the signing, and she never had realized this about my product, but she said, Angie, when you, because I took some Swarovski crystals, which are, the Blinger is a toy. It comes with rhinestones, acrylic rhinestones, and they're still shiny, but they're not like the Swarovski crystals. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are like diamonds in the hair. And so I had some Swarovski crystals there for fun, for the women that would come, hopefully, to get their a book and get it signed. And one of the young ladies, I winged up her hair, and it's real quick too, which is always, that surprises them, but it's very closed. You're like putting them in, and they're sparkling, like you said, and it's almost like people light up
right
getting it
yeah
in their hair. And she said to me, she goes, you're just, it's not only like your story is inspirational, but you just like literally are inspiring them and making them, I mean, it's almost like they got 2 inches taller as you're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Their faces lighting up from just kind of that just putting them in the hair. It's just, it's hard to describe, but it's really interesting. It's like they go from, you know, drab to glam. Or so. I mean, she was, this young lady where I'm thinking of, she had been studying, and she was sitting at the table with her hair and all twisted up in a bun, and we just slinged the bun, and it was just so cute.
Nice, so, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you know, the whole story in Blinger is basically a testament, you know, to believing, you know, dreams can come true. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the things you tried to share with people, to, you know, people to have faith, you know, in their dreams?
I want to help people that have an idea, or they have a dream, or they actually have a dream, like I had a dream, and they think it may sound crazy, like, no, it might actually be purposeful and meaningful to a lot of people. And for me, the testimony really, it's my testimony since you're asking, it's my, you know, obedience to God, and my testimony to him, and that I believe in his words.
Right.
But I think it's also his testimony to others that they can believe in his, you know, promises. And so that's what I really ultimately, that would be like the best, you know, the highest goal, or that I would hope is that for others to know that, you know, he's real and that he cares. So that would be ultimate. But also, if it happens to help an entrepreneur out there that just really is having trouble, you know, I think a lot, I've come to decide that really success in any venture, it comes down, 90% of it is your mindset.
Yeah.
I would say. Like, I know that sounds high, but I really think it's like that high.
Right.
What you're thinking, your belief is so huge in your ability to finish it and to accomplish your, you know, your dream. So that's what I hope my book does too.
And that, interesting. That's one of the things as well, to finish it. It is a big thing because a lot of people might start it. You know, it's like, you know, falling on the wayside along the road, sort of thing. You know, you've got to travel the road, and you've got to go through the good, the bad, the twists, the uphill, the downhill, etc. But it's finishing the journey is what you set out to do, and that a lot of people don't.
Well, and I think what happens is we see failure as like the stopping point, or let's rethink the whole thing. But really, failure is not that you've gotten it wrong. It's more on a lesson on how to get it right. And so if you see it that way versus, oh, this is a sign that I shouldn't be doing this, or look, this failed. You know, that's just a battle. Mm. The war is not over.
Right.
You really got to keep you. That's a course correction. I really talk about failure a lot actually in the book, because I failed so much. And I think it's actually more common to have, you could have 100 failures, but you may only need one win right. to make up for all those.
And so, like, you need to learn from your failures. A lot of people don't.
Yes.
And I think that's another big step that needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, don't see it as a sign, oh, I got to quit because I failed. It didn't work out. No, just see it as more of a course correction of what you need to change.
Yes.
But how can, you know, and sometimes it's just what you think is the, we have to be open too, because what you think, oh, you know, you can't be so set that this is the way it needs to go, because there are always, well, not always, but usually there are other ways to get there, or maybe the product really isn't designed for that market. It's really better for this market over here.
Right.
And that, you know, it's hard to do when you're in the midst of it and you're focused and you're driven and to think, to stop and back up a little bit and try to, you know, kind of widen your view on, you know, other possibilities with either the idea or the product or the market or how to get money. Like,
right.
Okay, there's not only investors and loans, there's Kickstarters
yep.
or crowd funds. And
yep.
those helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Even the failed ones.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of sort of authors will say, you know, they only read the good reviews. And I think that's totally wrong. I think you need to read all reviews.
Oh.
And because
yeah.
the only way you're going to learn is from experience, from other people's experience. And you can look back on, you know, if you see a bad review, why is it a bad review? Look at it. See what something. I had one. I had with my YA book that I think it was about 50 odd reviews in that somebody suddenly, you know, start of chapter 11 is very similar to start of chapter 15. And I looked at it and it was. It wasn't quite word for word, but it was very, very similar. So
yeah,
I managed to get the books taken off the shelf and fixed it, you know? But if I hadn't have read that, I would never have realized it, you know?
Yeah. They were helping you.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And that can happen in editing because it goes through so many revisions with a book that I could totally see that happening. Or you've forgotten what you wrote because you wrote chapter 11 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, people have, you know, I've had people had edited it, people have reviewed it, you know, and everything like that. And this person was the first one to actually notice. Yeah, you know, it just shows you it's out there. See what I'm waiting for, talking about your inventing, right? I am waiting for somebody to invent something that you stick on the side of a carton of milk. Or a bottle of milk, and it turns colour. Okay. It turns colour when the milk turns, so you don't have to stick your nose in it to see if it's off. And really, you know how off milk smells.
So
you always stick your nose in, like, oh yes, it is. You know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny. I heard once that you can't tell if milk is bad until you actually taste it. I don't know if that's true, but
well, you can certainly smell it if it's on its way.
But you know, it hasn't been taken out into the market. But I know an old acquaintance of mine. She had these stickers that you could put on your skin,
right.
And it would tell you when you needed more sunscreen. So
right.
I thought they could make something like that.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm sure they could. And I mean, you know, can you imagine appearing on one of these things with something and giving everybody a bottle of off milk?
Idea for all the food. I really need that.
Oh God! Yes, exactly.
We'll open something up.
Who left the milk in? Like, the milk's gone off. I've wanted a cup of coffee. Who left the milk go off?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we definitely need that. All right, we're gonna do that after the call. Tell your audience they can't do it. We're doing it.
Yeah, yes. You heard it here first, people, and I've got it written down. But by the way, I've got
Don't
it written down. Yeah. So you got it out, and you decided to share the experience with people in your book, Blinger, An Entrepreneur's Faith-Based Journey. What sort of response have you received?
Well, I've had some pretty amazing emails. People have found me like on LinkedIn or my Instagram page, and I've gotten some, I mean, like, could make you cry, some of the responses, and just random, like, I was at Barnes & Noble, and I found your book, and this one lady, it was so beautiful, she was like, I was crying, like, halfway through the book, and then I took it home, and I read the whole book one day, because I couldn't put it down, and it was just, like, so rewarding, right? Like, just to hear that.
When you hear that, I had...
I'm done. I only needed her.
Exactly, exactly. I had a lady who bought the book for her, my book for her her son, and she wrote back to me about a week later, and she says, my son never really reads at all. And I gave him your book, and he sat there, and he read it. He read it through. He was quiet for nearly the whole day, she said. And he put it down, and he said he really enjoyed it and stuff like that. So she said, I picked it up, and I found the same. I couldn't put it down. And she said, and then the next day I left it lying on the thing, and my mother came in, and she read it. So I had three generations, all have enjoyed it. So what more could he ask for?
Yeah, exactly. You're done.
That's it. Yep, that's it. I've done. Made my mark on this world. That's it. That's it.
That's right.
Okay, I can't keep the time has whizzed by. I've suddenly checked the clock and realised how close we are. But I tell you what I'm going to do now, Angie. I'm going to hand the show over to you, so you can tell everybody. Well, you can then tell everybody where they can find out more about you, your products, and of course your book. So over to you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much, Barry. So Angie Sella. If you do Instagram, I'm Angie Sella Official. And Sella is with a C, C-E-L-L-A. And I'm launching the women's product that will come with, you know, real high-end crystals, genuine crystals. That's coming out in February.
Cool.
So I have a website called Bijou, which is French for jewel. So it's B-I-J-O-U and then Blinger, B-L-I-N-G-E-R. So Bijou Blinger. It's kind of hard to spell, but hopefully... they'll get that, and then they can go to the website and do the contact us if they want to reach out or trying to think. Oh, and then the book is on Amazon. It's online with Walmart. Most of the book, the online bookstores have it, and it's Blinger and Entrepreneur's Faith-Based Journey. So.
Okay. Well, Angie, it has been been really good chatting to you. I really enjoyed it. And thank you so much. Are you going to write another book, do you think?
I am. I think so. I would like to. I've already got the title. It's Bijou, Little Rock, Big God.
Okay. Oh, nice, nice. I like that. Well, perhaps when that comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I'd love to. That'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Barry.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Angie Sella, C-E-L-L-A. I've been talking about her product, and she's gone through it in this great book, Warts and All, by all accounts. It's ups and downs, ins and outs, all over the place. And she's only looking back, you realise all the sort of twists and turns that she had to go through. And the book is called Blinger, An Entrepreneur's Faith-Based Journey. And it came out October the 5th, so it hasn't been out long at all. Terrific. It looks a wonderful story, and it was really interesting chatting to her. That's it for this week. I will be back on Sunday with 5 p.m. Eastern for an hour with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme, I can tell you the theme this week because I've just finished the show. The theme is London. Yeah, so all bits of music from the 20th century about London. Have a think, see what you come up with. I'm sure you'll get a few of them. And then, of course, after that, from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Swinging 60s. Music from the 60s, from around the world, not just the British invasion, even though that was most of it, but the Swinging 60s. And then, of course, next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back here with a book and a chat and fresh guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget... Make sure it's working.